WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
This is far less professional because my day started with the biggest faux pas that I could have.
Sports Talk Saturday.
But I see in the break room, there's some donuts there. Okay, sweet. Yo, all right. And I completely forgot about the very segment that we did here about not trusting the 5 bags of unmarked tortilla chips.
Yeah.
What did my stupid butt do? I grabbed one.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think with fly thing.
I'm going to have nightmares about that.
I hope it's the fact that I could hear it across the room with headphones on. And the mics weren't even on, so I couldn't hear you through the headphones.
On WGR.
No. Welcome to the flaming wagon known as Sports Talk Saturday.
Sports Radio 550.
Bite into the stale donut.
Yes. Yeah. Embrace the crunch of the stale donut. That's what you need to do.
Welcome back in hour number 3 of Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you. I didn't bite into any stale donuts today.
I had a fresh one.
There you go. It's always good.
Yeah.
Fresh donuts are usually ideal.
You couldn't hear
big
it
same.
Crunch through the glass.
Yeah, big same here. I had a fresh donut today.
Did you?
Yes. I had a strawberry cream donut from the Timmy's.
Are they back with the strawberry cream?
Yeah, they're up in the strawberry flavors right now.
Because it's summertime, yeah.
Yep.
I remember that. Last summer, that was pretty good. They had something else strawberry, too.
I'm a strawberry guy.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
I had strawberry milk the other day for the first time.
For the first time?
Yes. So, funnily enough, have you ever been... It's a local place. Hoover's Dairy? They're, like, known for that. Like, they deliver chocolate milk to your house.
Oh, nice.
Like, on the old, like, glass jugs,
the old
right?
style?
Yes, the old style. I went there for Father's Day last weekend now and tried it. Their food was great. It's a lot like just, you know, your ice cream place with the grill stuff, like
beautiful.
Something like that, right? So it's classic right there. But the milk is there. So I tried the chocolate milk. It's out of this world, right? They make it there. The brown cows are over there making chocolate milk. And then... they had the pink glass with the strawberry milk, and I tried it for the first time. It was very solid, actually. I was surprised. I thought it was going to be too much, but it complemented pretty well. It was like a dessert. Like, if I sat there and shook it for 30 minutes in, like, a cold area, it probably would have turned to ice cream or whipped cream of some kind, you know?
All right. Well, speaking of things that can make a stomach gurgle.
Yeah.
I went ahead and just absolutely, I mean, I didn't throw... a stick of dynamite onto my timeline, but I opened it up.
Yeah.
I opened up the literal can of worms here by saying on my Twitter account, still never calling it X, at Derek Kramer 49, a Jeff Skinner buyout would be blank. And I've already gotten plenty of responses. So it's time to get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. All right, so plenty of people are saying this word, 4 letters. Fine. That is the most common one. Steven elaborates a little bit on it, saying fine. Fine is the word. Sad, but fine. David tweeting in, culture changing. Kyle tweeting in here saying premature, and I might agree with that in just a moment about why. A couple other ones here. Unfortunate, but probably necessary. Again, fine. Matt tweeting in surprising. And Jamie tweeting in a picture of Darla from the Little Rascals clenching a can.
I've never seen something represent an emotion that well.
Yes. Our friend Joe Yurden responded to this and said, beefy. And I agree with that as well. So, 803-0550. A Jeff Skinner buyout would be blank if you want to join in on the discussion. For me, my answer is too soon. A Jeff Skinner buyout would be too soon. And that is why I'm agreeing with one of the tweets here. Kyle is tweeting in premature. And I agree with that. I think it's more or less, I think you could get one more year of solid production out of him at the $9 million cap hit.
Yeah.
And then you're not worrying about as much of the longer term penalties. You're only then dealing with 2 years of a $2 million cap hit, which that's one less year of having to deal with negative cap hit on there. And it's also for a lesser cap hit. 2.4 is the cap hit for the next 3 years of 2027, 2028, and 2029 after the deal ends in 2027. It's a six-year process with the buyout. You would be saving $7.5 million this season. So if you've got a plan, as Brian Koziel mentioned in the first hour when we talked with him, you have to have a plan to replace that 30-goal capable scorer. You have to have someone ready to go that will do it for a team that struggled to score goals last season. And you're already looking to add to your forward core because you traded Casey Mittelstadt away and you need to replace that production as well. And improve on it. That's the other thing. We're not just trying to replace. We're trying to improve. Yes, defensively, they would obviously be a better team because Jeff Skinner, if you looked at any sort of metrics,
he's pretty one
way. Tire fire.
Yeah, he's one way. That's really it.
I aspire my defensive game on Jeff Skinner. Ask anyone that I've ever skated with.
I think that might have maybe been brought up. I don't know.
but Jeff Skinner still also has, at minimum, solid goal scoring production left. For one more year, I'm willing to eat that cap hit because you still have that cap. You still have the numbers. Savings go down to 4.5 in 2025-26. And then you also will still save $2.5 million in 2026-2027, which is supposed to be the last year of his deal. Now let's flip it. Let's wait a year. So we do the buyout in 2025-26, right? The savings are $5 million. And then $3 million. Which, of course, when it comes to your first years of the buyout, they could be better. But when it comes to reflecting those years of 2025 and 2026, they're better. $5 million is more than $4.5 million. $3 million is better than $2.5 million. And your cap hits in 2027-2028 are $2 million. There's no cap hit if you do it next year. There's no cap hit in 2029. We're done.
Yeah.
So I think I'm a little mystified as why this is getting traction now instead of next year.
Here's the thing.
Because we were going to get to this point eventually when this deal was signed and everyone and their mother was saying Jason Botchel kind of like he bargained against himself, basically. Like, he was competing against himself and trying to make sure that Skinner doesn't hit unrestricted free agency, but I don't know if he was getting that in the open market. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It was weird. It was weird to see that contract at that cap hit for a player that is still only a secondary gunner. And you paid him like he was a creator and a driving force on any team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not the case. Like, Jeff Skinner is a very good complimentary piece.
Yes.
He's a great complimentary piece, I would even add.
Can I?
At the time of signing, fantastic complimentary
piece.
Yes,
he was. And the thing is, too, there was, you know, as you know, a press conference a couple days ago with Jerry Fortin, the assistant GM, and Kevin Adams. When directly asked about it, I think it's fueled up a little more since then. When directly asked about it, he didn't confirm or deny whether or not he said we'll do it. Like, pretty much, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But we're not, like, looking for that, you know? I have the clip here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Nothing's off the table. We're going to talk about everything. We're going to look at every scenario. But that's probably as far as I go on specifics right now.
So, I mean, it's not like he's not thinking about it. Like, I think that might have fueled up a little more conversation, I guess, about it, right?
Yeah.
Since that response, because he kind of just goes at the end, we're not going to go into more specifics on that. Yeah. He was directly asked about Jeff
Skinner.
It's
kind of like he's trying to do his best with a non-answer.
Yeah. And that was a direct ask about Skinner's buyout.
It's a very direct ask, but I also think it is just like, He's trying to non-answer that as much as possible because GMs, especially this time of year, don't want to tip their hands at anything
right.
that they're doing. And again, for me, it's exactly what Brian Koziel brought up. It is, what are you doing about replacing the goal production that is there?
And don't say you have the prospect pool to do it because you don't.
You do, well, I think.
You do, but they're not proven.
They're not proven, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
I need proven if I'm losing 30 goals.
You need someone who's going to be able to come in and put that metric up or improve upon it, and you don't have that guaranteed on your roster or in your prospect pool.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that if I'm losing Jeff Skinner, I'm losing a player that will, at his worst, score you 25-ish goals.
Remember 2 years ago what that top line was like with him, Thompson, and Tuck?
He had 33 goals.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, 35 goals 2 years
35
ago.
35 goals 2 years ago, and that top line production, they were scoring.
Every non-Ralph Kruger year that this man has had in his career?
30-goal scorer?
30-goal scorer, and every now and then it was 20s. And then Ralph Kruger happened, and he put up 21 combined goals in two seasons. Thanks, Ralph.
We just got really shoved down to the fourth line.
And into the press box. But, like, that's the thing. Jeff Skinner is a very consistent, solid goal scorer, and I need an answer if there's going to be a buyout. I'm already looking for answers for this top six anyway. I'm already looking at the possibility of, what are we going to do with Dylan Cousins, who stagnated in growth? What am I doing with the answer of, okay, you have Quinn, you have Cousins, you have Paterka. There's still a lot that has to be worked out in the sense of, what am I doing to replace this? What am I doing to replace the goal scoring? And if any of you tries to pull this Billy Bean, find it in the aggregate sort of nonsense, I'm going to slap myself.
Find it in the aggregate.
Yeah, we replaced it in the aggregate. We're replacing Giambi in the aggregate. Like, shut up, Brad Pitt. Not now. This isn't about getting on base. So that's the thing. And Brian brought it up, and it's absolutely the big point, is what are you doing about replacing that goal scoring? That is something I do not know. And I have a general manager that has not shown me the capability of adding that player yet. So I do not want to be subtracting a proven commodity that will get me 20 goals at minimum if there's no proven answer that I'm ready to look at here. Because I don't think this fan base can be sold once again on, oh, we've got plenty of depth, youth coming into this group. By God, I'm okay with youth and talent. But I also can very clearly speak for other fans saying, enough's enough. We need something now. We'll go to the phones. Paul in Buffalo, thanks for joining Sports Talk Saturday. How you doing?
I'm well. I think you guys are on point with Skinner. I don't quite get the sort of addition by subtraction argument that's being made. It's as if people are unaware of now, 2 seasons ago, when he was on a top line with Tage and Tuck, and Tage and Tuck were healthy, and he was fine. Jeff Skinner is overpaid. I get it. He's overpaid. He's a role player. His role is to score goals at 5-on-5. That's his role. He's actually quite good at scoring goals 5-on-5. The problem last year, in my opinion, was his centerman was quite obviously hurt in Tage Thompson, and Alex Tuck was never healthy either. And for the end of the previous season, he was taken off that line for whatever reason. And don't get me wrong, J.J. Paterka can obviously play up there, but I think we're strongest offensively when you have a healthy Tuck, a healthy Thompson with Skinner on that line, and you drop Paterka down to the kid line, and maybe that revitalizes Dylan Cousins, who, in my opinion, was a far bigger problem than Jeff Skinner last year. Dylan, now I'm not disparaging Cousins, but he had an awful year. He needs to get back on track, and maybe putting Paterka on his line would help him. And you know, it also allows you to protect Benson by not relying on him as a 19-year-old, second-year player to carry the load. I think it's foolish and reactionary to go after Skinner. I think he's being scapegoated because he's not a 200-foot player. He's a role player. You know who else is a role player? Jordan Greenway. He's a role player that refuses to play his role. Once every 10 games, maybe even twice every 10 games, he hits people and he looks like $1 million out there. But it's twice every 10 games. Any line Jordan Greenway should be on should be called dump and hit. As soon as they hit center ice, they should dump the puck in. Greenway should pick up a head of speed and demolish a defenseman. But he so rarely does it because he's a role player that doesn't want to play his role. I mean, I'll take Jeff Skinner over Jordan Greenway any day of the week. Now, I mean, you know, obviously they make different money, but I just, Skinner's being scapegoated. And then just go Oilers, run them out of the building Monday night. I'm so in love with watching the Oilers play right now. What it, they were able to win without McDavid scoring a point last night. Draisaitl looked like a healthy Leon Draisaitl last night. I don't think the Panthers have a chance, personally. Guys, have a good show. See ya.
Paul, thank you. And great call. I really think that you hammered on a lot of points here, especially the fact that Skinner's role is to score goals 5-on-5, and he still is very good at it. Let's call last year a down year. For a lot of players, it was.
Jeff Skinner, for most of the team, it was.
Ready? The down year for Jeff Skinner was 24 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you take that. You take that in your top nine.
Well, and everyone complains about, oh, he's not great on the power play. Like, he's
then
the problem
get
with the
players
power play.
That can.
Put someone else in the power
and
play
that's a coaching
and leave him
issue.
On 5-on-5. It was a Granato issue. He wouldn't take him off the power play. That's not Jeff Skinner's problem.
And not to mention, they would put him behind the net, which was something systematically they didn't use.
Yeah, and Matt Ellis was running that power play, or wasn't he?
No, he wasn't, but one of the other assistants that did leave did.
Yes, and he essentially had them standing still. You notice other teams' power plays, they were moving around everywhere. Sabres got to their spots, and that was it.
Or if Ellis was running the power play, for example, like they're obviously not letting him now.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a new, I'm not going to say a new system in place because most teams run the umbrella at this point,
mm-hmm.
but there's going to be a new philosophy, I think, in place.
Yeah.
And there's probably going to be more functionality and emphasis on movement.
Yeah.
Which is something that great power plays have.
Yeah. And maybe putting players on it that actually support that
movement
function.
That's all it is.
Movement, yeah.
You need movement. And I think it was being hammered that they want to play high with the three.
Mm-hmm.
And typically you were seeing Cousins, Dahlin, Thompson, Dahlin, Thompson, Dahlin, Cousins, Dahlin. Like,
yeah, the two lower, closer to the net weren't doing anything.
They weren't doing anything.
Yeah.
So there's probably another reason for that. I don't think Jeff Skinner has been good on the power play, and there's plenty of statistics and analytics that will show you that he was not, and he should not be there. But that said, he has a role on this team, and it is to score goals at 5-on-5. It's almost the opposite. Everyone's saying this about Victor Olofsson for years until obviously like last year the collapse finally came with him.
Mm-hmm.
But like his role was to add points on the power play. Give you some extra scoring on special teams because he's really good at doing that. And then all the wheels just fell off. But I also think that some of that had to do with philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, you're having guys just sit on an off wing and then that's it. Like that's it. There's no moving, there's no creativity, there's nothing. And that is, it's a shame, really, to see that. And again, with the down year that the Buffalo Sabres had, Jeff Skinner put up 24 goals. I will say to one thing, though, Paul mentioned in that call, Jeff Skinner, I think, is a good fit on several lines and for a reason. Because his role is to provide a gunner to a creator or a playmaker. And I think Zach Benson is got that dog in him enough that he will be a good support even at 19 for Jeff Skinner. He's a guy that will create turnovers, and when you create turnovers, you get a player open for a shot. Who's getting open? Jeffrey.
Yeah. He's also your absolute firecracker on that team.
Yes. And like, was bringing up earlier this week, Joe DiBiase brought up some favorite Jeff Skinner moments, almost as if he was already gone, which I didn't agree with that, like, kind of...
The context behind, like, not, or what like, the implementation
tone.
Was.
Yeah, the tone mm-hmm. I wasn't necessarily agreeing with, but it was one of my favorite things that he brought up, and he lovingly talked about this moment, where in the playoff chase a couple years ago against Detroit, the Sabres score a goal, and Jeff Skinner had upset Dylan Larkin, and now he's celebrating in his face.
Yeah.
And there are five Red Wings now going after 5'11 Jeff Skinner because he's celebrating in front of them, raising his hands up against them, and then everyone comes rifling in at center ice.
Yeah.
He's a pot stirrer. He doesn't have the physicality of it, but he has the mentality to help throw people off their game too.
You're gonna see, I mean, how far are you in Ted Lasso?
He's a pot stirrer. I'm not very far at all.
Okay, so just keep an eye on Jamie Tartt. He's Jeff Skinner. He'll end up being Jeff Skinner. So it's just... There's moments, right? I was at that Pittsburgh game two seasons ago where he got the 3-game suspension after just obliterating, right into the glass.
Cross-checking the teeth of Jake Guentzel.
Yeah.
Like, but he was defending his goalie.
He was. And that's like, I'm not condoning cross-checking in the throat or the face or anything
Sometimes
like that.
Sometimes players miss.
Yeah.
but also just don't do that.
Yeah. And don't get suspended for three games, but he's got the passion and the fire behind him. Yeah, don't hit the face. But he's
Anchorman rules.
Yes.
No touching of the hair or face.
That's right.
And that's it.
Yes. Yes.
But again, there
gloves do not
but
come
what,
off.
What Paul does say, though, about him being scapegoated is absolutely, I think, a thing about this that is going on. And I don't necessarily know if it's going to matter when it comes to the cap hit, so to say, because it's not like any of these cap hits are egregious.
Mm-hmm.
At most, we're looking at $2.5 million for 3 years after his contract. But that's also $2.5 million.
Yeah,
for 3 years. If they do it next year, it's $2 million per season for 2 years after the fact. You get one more year out of him, and hey, maybe he actually elevates his play again. If he elevates his play, maybe then you can get a no-move clause waived to send him somewhere that would be able to fit him better mm-hmm. to end the contract. Or not. And then you do the buyout next year, and it's only a total of $4 million 2 years after his deal. We were going to have to cross this bridge eventually because Jason Bottrell really... Put the screws to the team.
Yeah,
like it was not a good contract at its signing, and now comes the ugly part where we have to have these conversations. But I do think it would be too soon. It would be 1 year too soon that we're talking about this.
You got to let him bounce back from a down season.
A down season where he still had 24 goals,
and let the team bounce back with a new coach before you make any rash decisions.
People are saying, and this is the biggest myth I think that is going around right now about Jeff Skinner and new old coach Lindy Ruff he's not a rough guy. How do you know?
Yeah.
Lindy Ruff also has adapted on the fly, and he's made that known very frequently in the times that he's been made available to the media. Most importantly to me was that introductory press conference where he's like, I'm not the same old guy. You learn to adjust. He's embraced the analytics. He's embraced numbers. He knows that these numbers can be used to help make the best pairings and make the best lines. Who's working well together? What are the numbers telling us about the combination that we've put together? Is it good? Is it not good? We can fix it and we can adjust on the fly. And when he said that, the first thing that I thought of was Byram Yokiharju, Byram Yokiharju, Byram Yokiharju. Stop putting them together. And when he said that, it makes me think he's going to find the right fit for Jeff Skinner, even if only for 1 year. Because financially, I don't think it makes sense to do it right now. It looks like it makes sense next year. That's when it makes the most sense because, one, the cap hit's not as egregious. Two, you're not spending 3 years covering the rest of the buyout clause. And three, you could still get another year's worth of production of a solid, steady 5-on-5 scorer that will put you 20 to 30 goals into the net. And as Brian Koziel said, you're either finding me a guaranteed replacement to that, or you're subtracting from a spot where you already need more. I already had to deal with the damn discussion about this with the wide receiver production before Stephon Diggs got traded. This is the same conversation we're having again, except in hockey with goals. I do not need the forward train to start showing up here and smack me upside the head. I've already had my conflicts internally with the wide receiver train.
Yeah, trains, let's just forget about.
Please, no more trains.
No.
I'm okay. I'm trained out, okay? Mm-hmm. No more trains. Let's not do this year. It's basically my message, and I'm perfectly okay with that. And I don't... Yeah, exactly. Like, it's more or less like, what are you replacing it with? I don't want to have this discussion again. But in hockey... I'd rather not.
Yeah.
Because unless there is a plan, as Brian said, to replace this, don't do it. I think it's a year too soon to have this conversation. And if you have a 1 year plan to use that $7 million of savings,
mm-hmm.
that's got to be the only reason.
Yeah. Or you're getting an equal return that you know is going to be able to produce, which is highly unlikely.
And you're spending that $7 million on that immediately.
Yeah.
You have to. It has to be justified almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that Kevin Adams has enough moves in the repertoire to do that. I have no... It's not that I have no faith. He has no record of adding players in a buying situation. He got Jordan Greenway as a reclamation project, and he's kind of helped restabilize Greenway's career at arriving in Buffalo. He's a good bottom six forward. He could play as your line three. He could play as a line four. He shouldn't have been on the power play as much as he was. He's a great penalty killer, though. But he's got a nice fit that was overused. Skinner is what he is. Use it at least one more time. Also, so I can buy another Skinner chicken dinner.
Yes. Yeah.
8 pieces of fried chicken.
Yeah.
$53.
Center, yeah.
Still a great deal. All right. We come back. We'll talk more about this. What is the sense that you're getting with Jeff Skinner? Basically, the question is, a Jeff Skinner buyout is blank. We'll read more of the tweets. We'll get more thoughts. 803-0550, the number to call. Joe and I will keep these thoughts going here for the last half hour that we're around. You're listening to WGR.
Well, I think that's probably the area most I've grown, how hard you can push and how far hard you can go. I think players, myself, Kevin, we really have to stay connected in the direction we're trying to go, in the direction we're trying to get each individual to. Understanding that each player will have a role, will have a responsibility, there will be team responsibilities, there will be a lot of situations where it just has to be selfless play, whether you're giving up some part of your game to make sure that we're going to win a hockey game.
Sabres coach Lindy Ruff talking about what it's going to be required from this team. And one of those things that was mentioned there is, you know, typically why this chatter is beginning about Jeff Skinner, you know, giving up, you know, part of the, making sure you're sacrificing part of your game to make sure that, you know, you're coming, the team's coming out on top.
Yeah.
And of course, when you hear that, you think Jeff Skinner doesn't play defense. crap.
Right.
But for me, it's this. I think it's the Jeff Skinner buyout talk. Quite honestly, I didn't know I had this much energy in it. I should have started this discussion sooner, I guess. But you know what? I was still fascinated by Game 7.
Yeah.
Game 7 happening.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, there's other major hockey things that have been happening right now, too.
Yeah. Where even though this is kind of a local, like, major-ish topic.
But it's also only a rumor topic. It's a discussion topic, though. It's
yeah.
a good one. But also... there's something else that has happened. I just want to make a quick tidbit of it before we go back to the Skinner conversation. And it's this. The Arizona State Land Department canceled a land auction scheduled for Thursday that former Arizona Coyotes owner Alex Maruello was counting on for reactivation of the Arizona Coyotes.
Oh.
Yeah. Kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So... it just looks like this guy continues his folly of errors. Get Maruello away from any sort of NHL franchise ownership.
Yeah.
Because it's just not happening. Get out. You're done. You had your chance. You screwed it up. Get out of here. Like, we're done. All right. Back to it. So, what do you do to replace the Jeff Skinner production if a buyout happens? I don't know. Now. I'm gonna go ahead and we'll read some more thoughts from fans here. As I tweeted it out at Derek Kramer 49, plenty of people. It's a collection of different answers. MRW tweeting in, sad and desperate a Jeff Skinner buyout would be. Rob saying, horrible if they don't spend to the cap. Fun if they go to the wall with spending. I agree with that. If they do it. As Brian mentioned, as Rob tweets here, you've got to go for it. You've got to get me an answer. And getting an answer for 20 to 30 goal scorers is a big name comes in. But I already need a big name. Remember, back in April, I already need a wide receiver.
Yeah. You need a big name without having to replace another
flashbacks.
Big name.
Next thing you know, I'm up here sitting in this chair at 12:30 a.m. on a Thursday going, ah!
Yeah, it's all been a dream.
Yes.
It's all a simulation.
Rob tweeting in, Not as beneficial as finding another team to take his contract along with pick 11 in return for future considerations. It opens up the cap space, sign the prospects that are developing, and bring in the right vets. Again, it's different than trying to replace a 30-goal scorer, I think. It's different. I don't think it's going to happen there. 6010, yep, that's the username, saying overdue.
I don't.
A buyout would be overdue.
I can get where people say, I don't agree with it by any means, but when I hear overdue, I think they're just saying he's been overpaid for a long time at the $9 million contract, which, okay, like I can understand what you're saying. He wasn't worth it. I mean, he's worth a little cheaper of a contract, but it's not overdue for him leaving and getting bought out.
Michael tweeting an interesting. A Jeff Skinner buyout would be interesting. Ice Cream tweeting in, needed.
Okay, Ice Cream.
MLR, Go Bills, tweeting, a move so stupid that if he does it, it should get Adams fired. Mm. If the Sabres want to move on, that's fine, but he is a good asset. Retain half salary, bundle him with pick 11 and a top prospect to trade for a top forward to upgrade.
Yeah. See, that's where
that's
I'm okay.
That's fun. Ready? That's fun. That's, I am in on that.
That's where I'm okay
fun.
With it. Yeah.
Because it's fun. I like the idea. You're also upgrading. Like, mm-hmm. That is my reason. That's the only reason I would want to see Jeff Skinner not in a Sabres uniform next year is you have the substantial upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be substantial. It's got to be proven.
Yeah, and not just Jeff a prospect Skinner, taking a spot.
And Jeff Skinner is a proven 20 to 30 goal scorer in his entire career. And I'm not kidding when I say that. The only time that he was not was because the Satan of NHL head coaches was here for 2 years.
The reverse Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Brought in a soccer coach to coach an American sport.
I just won't.
Or not an American. It's technically a Canadian sport.
The fact
sport,
that I actually had hope for that, man.
I know.
Ugh.
I know.
Oh, my
well,
God.
You think it might work if you're...
I just want it to work. That's all. Like, yeah. I want things to work for this team. I love this. I'm wearing my Buffalo Sabres t-shirt today, and it's just like, I want good things to happen for this team. Because I remember sitting out in those damn parties in the plaza and having the time of my life out there. And I'm sitting outside. I'm not even in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
So, please, let's bring that back.
Yeah.
Let's get it back. Yeah. So, I'm seeing a lot of answers lately more on the what are you replacing him with? And that is exactly the logic that I think needs to be implied here. Anyone that just says that it's fine or that, like, you know, it's needed. First of all, needed is an overstatement. I don't think you're even correct in that statement. I don't think it's needed to get rid of a 20 to 30 goal scorer on a team that had problems scoring last year. What they need is to get better at that position at forward with the offensive zone scoring and with 5-on-5, but also particularly in the power play. They need that. If you lose 20 to 30 goals, what am I replacing it with?
Right.
And right now the answer is I don't know because...
IDK.
You know, one of the answers, you know, saying like, you know, go swing big for something. Like, it's great if you go to the wall with spending. The problem is, Kevin Adams, when it comes to like one-year guys, does not have a good track record at all. The names Eric Staal,
yeah.
Taylor Hall, and Eric Johnson come to mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not the best.
So,
we were talking about Eric Johnson in the break.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
But like, I went, when I said that to you during the break, I went back and looked. I'm like, oh my God, he was the one that signed Taylor Hall, wasn't he? And he was. So,
not a great history there.
Not a great history with the one-year additions, the short-term. Like I said, they get $7 million in free cap if they do it. That said, I don't trust Kevin Adams with 1 year of $7-plus million because there is a history there. It's not a good one. I've liked his drafting. Absolutely have loved his drafting. Free agency, nobody should touch ever because nothing ever works. Nothing ever works in NHL free agency. The money that you spend in NHL free agency is just the worst thing that a franchise could do. but ready? Steven Stamkos is going to hit the open market probably. So and the last time we had that discussion, the Kyle Oposo contract happened.
when he knew the vibes were off in the beginning of the season, but didn't say anything or try and change that. He just, you know, the captain of the team just rolled over and showed his belly.
Oh, boy, I forgot. I just opened that can of worms with you.
Yeah.
You're in a raw case of, you're in a glass of emotion right now.
Yeah, that's why I can't root for Florida in the slightest.
You're in a glass case of emotion. I can't tell you. I can't say those words.
No, Kyle Okposo, if you say it, I just ignite.
You immediately, you're in a glass case of emotion. I gotta reel you back in. But again, I don't have the history of a guy. I don't have a good history of a guy when it comes to his additions. I have no history of him doing it through trade. And this is also his last chance to really prove to the rest of the league that he belongs as a National Hockey League general manager and is not just a patsy for Terry Pegula. Like, that is the stigma that Kevin Adams has to fight. And this is it, I think.
Yeah.
Because Brian mentioned, like, Lindy Ruff might survive before Kevin Adams does if the season doesn't go well.
That would be crazy.
It'd be tragic because, again, I'm watching another team do this. And here we go. Like, it's just where the fan base is right now, like, on Jeff Skinner. I wouldn't say he's a volatile player, but the opinions on him are very, very widespread. Steve tweets in chef's kiss. I don't believe that to be correct. Neither does Luca. Luca tweeting in wrong. The buyout would be wrong. So
I'm on the wrong side of it. I don't like the idea of
I don't like the idea. Ready? I don't like the idea of it this year. I think it's too soon.
Yeah, because you don't have a guaranteed replacement.
Well, also, talk to me about it next year because financially, it's a little lighter of a cap hit for you. You're only doing 2 years of $2 million. That's feasible. That's very manageable in today's day and age in the salary cap.
And also, who knows how this season's going to go with a new head coach?
Exactly. He might fit in just fine.
Yeah.
And also,
even though he's not a rough guy, how do you...
That's a misconception because we don't know. But furthermore than that, you have a player who's motivated to get back to 30 goals because Jeff Skinner's saying at the end of the season, like, you know, he lost his game for a little bit there and that he needs to make sure that it's there. The thing is that physical attributes are the first thing that makes the decline when it comes to physicality. Jeff Skinner is a free-forming skater who works his edges very uniquely to the National Hockey League. That's not going away anytime soon. So his physical attributes are not going to be in that kind of a decline because it's not the rough and tumble kind. That's not his game. So he's going to be able to keep doing what he does for longer. I hate to say this because this means I'm eating a bag of crow, but it's why Pat Kane was able to be productive last year.
Yeah, you're right.
Because he doesn't have those attributes. I'm terrified that Alex Ovechkin's not going to catch up to the Wayne Gretzky goals record anymore. Because it's showing. Like his attributes are starting to decline. Why he was a more physical player? He takes more of a beating. So there you go.
Just got to let Skinner be Skinner and let him score. Stop trying to make him something he's not.
As the caller Paul had said, let him do his thing.
Yes, make him something he's not.
Which is a 5-on-5 goal scorer that should get about middle six ice time.
Yeah. Yeah, second or third line.
I think he is exactly that. He's a middle six goal scorer with a fat contract, but you can use it for one more year because you have the cap space. Otherwise, you got to tell me that I am getting a premium asset to replace him.
Right, trade that, pick 11.
Even if it's just buying out and then you use assets to acquire a premium asset coming back, a proven commodity.
Well, they have the money.
They have the money, but again, I'm still just at, this has to be handshake written in a contract that if Jeff Skinner's getting bought out, it is because there is a significant player coming in for the Buffalo Sabres. That has to be the answer. Otherwise, I'm not going to accept it. We can talk about this next year.
Yeah.
I think, for me, it's just I'm willing to punt this conversation because I think it's, A, the most balanced between the two sides of not yet.
We're not at
like,
full
like people that want it, I'll talk to you later. People that don't want it,
I'm with you.
We'll talk to you later. Like this is the ultimate, we'll talk about this later. And that's why it was very curious to hear Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman talking about it. Because once those two get their ears to the ground on something,
there's typically usually a good reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. We'll wrap up the show coming up next year. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR.
I've got the utmost respect for how he plays the game. And if you could take the way Josh Allen plays, fearless, give me the ball, I'll take it. Some of that game that he plays, that's the game that our players need to play. That fearless, relentless, because when the game is on the line, Josh wants the ball.
Lindy Ruff talking about everyone's favorite quarterback, Josh Allen.
His favorite, too.
Yes, I mean, everyone's favorite. How do you not like him? Because you're a Miami fan, and
yes,
that makes you a goofball.
Yeah. Sorry, Tyreek Hill's retiring to play Fortnite. Cry.
Or just bitter. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to. We've had to deal with that.
We've had to deal with that. Seed and the AFCs for me in the same game, so it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Right? I mean, I've had a division rival put us down for two decades, so I don't want to hear that much complaining. But I can take some belly aching for that. All right, we'll get a couple more tweets about the Jeff Skinner buyout. Question here. A Jeff Skinner buyout would be blank. And my favorite, I'm going to read last here, but Ryan tweeting in, welcomed at two, Ryan. Come on, man.
At two.
RIP RJ tweeting, stupid. Too many years to eat, and that $6.4 million cap, or that $6.4 climb in the cost in year three is crazy to me. Andre tweeting in, sad but understandable. So it sounds like a favorite. But my favorite here is from John. John saying it's settling. I feel although Skinner has flaws in his game, like every player on the team, he has value, especially after what we saw with LA with Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Oh, look at that.
It is tougher to trade a guy with a $9 million cap hit with a no-move clause. Dubois, his was about to kick in, and LA found a way out. So it was very good maneuvering by the Kings to get out of it before the no-move clause happens. Which, by the way, Toronto fans are screaming about that sort of move because Mitch Marner and the impending contract negotiation that's going to happen with him on the last year of his contract. And you're about to possibly lose him for nothing if you don't move him, if he's not going to be a long-term fixture on this team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another fascinating window to look at here. But I liked the reference here with Pierre-Luc Dubois because I thought it was a little silly that the Capitals even acquired him. But
yeah,
but I like that because, hey, there's value still in a noted, consistent, proven 20 to 30 goal scorer, even in a down year. All right, that'll do it. For us here on Sports Talk Saturday, for Brian Koziel, who joined us in the first hour, for Joe Kelly, who ran double duty here today, co-hosting along with running the board, I am Derek Kramer. You've been listening, as always, to another wonderful edition of Sports Talk Saturday. Next week is going to be a chaotic one. I hope Evan's ready on the board because myself, TJ Luckman, Josh Schmidt, we're all going to be down there at Harbor Center. Rotating into the table there to talk plenty of hockey during day two of the NHL draft while Joe Calley is here in our Amherst headquarters along with Brayton Wilson. Paul Hamilton will be joining in periodically from the bubble in Las Vegas. So you're going to hear plenty of voices next week on Sports Talk Saturday. I cannot wait. And right after that, immediately after I'm done with the show at 2 o'clock, I'm going from the nice little radio corner that we're going to have at Harbor Center. And I'm walking downstairs, one floor, to the locker room as I take part in day 10 of the 11-day power play. My second shift on day 10 of the 11-day at 3 o'clock. So I'm very excited for that. And also, shout out to our fellow WGR members that are also that have also been in the Rod for Roswell.
Yes.
Raising money for cancer programs as well.
It's amazing.
So they may not play hockey, but they're doing just as much here in the fight against cancer as any of us that are taking the ice on Thursday, by the way. Thursday. I cannot wait to report back on that, by the way. Team WGR on Thursday at 6 o'clock takes on the Western New York Media All-Stars as we've got ourselves a fun little – we got ourselves a fun time happening there. And
And I'm gonna have Jeremy bring something in for. I'll text Jeremy, be like, hey, you want me to stoke some fires? I've got you. I'll be the smack talker that you're desperately looking for, because I like fun.
So you got to do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
You got to be the Jeff Skinner.
I'm gonna be the Jeff Skinner here. I will say that. I will be the Jeff Skinner defensively and trash talkingly. Not offensively, though. I can't do that. I don't. Nor in the budget. I wish I could get paid $9 million. I'll take $9.
I take anything.
I'll take $9. You hear that, Alan? All right. We got to get out of here. Monday night, Stanley Cup final. Jeremy and Joe are at it Monday morning. You're listening to WGR. Acquired him. But
yeah.
But I like that because, hey, there's value still in a noted, consistent, proven 20 to 30 goal scorer, even in a down year. All right. That'll do it for us here on Sports Talk Saturday. For Brian Koziel, who joined us in the first hour. For Joe Kelly, who ran double duty here today, co-hosting along with running the board. I am Derek Kramer. You've been listening, as always, to another wonderful edition of Sports Talk Saturday. Next week is going to be a chaotic one. I hope Evan's ready on the board, because myself, TJ Luckman, Josh Schmidt, we're all going to be down there at Harbor Center, rotating into the table there to talk plenty of hockey during day two of the NHL draft, while Joe Kelly is here in our Amherst headquarters, along with Brayton Wilson. Paul Hamilton will be joining in periodically from the bubble in Las Vegas. So you're going to hear plenty of voices next week on Sports Talk Saturday. I cannot wait. And right after that, immediately after I'm done with the show at 2 o'clock, I'm going from the nice little radio corner that we're going to have at Harbor Center, and I'm walking downstairs, one floor, to the locker room as I take part in day 10 of the 11-day power play, my second shift on day 10 of the 11-day at 3 o'clock. So I'm very excited for that. And also, shout out to our fellow WGR members that have also been in the Rod for Roswell.
Yes.
Raising money for cancer programs as well.
It's amazing.
So they may not play hockey, but they're doing just as much here in the fight against cancer as any of us that are taking the ice on Thursday, by the way. Thursday. I cannot wait to report back on that, by the way. Team WGR on Thursday at 6 o'clock takes on the Western New York Media All-Stars as we've got ourselves a fun time happening there. And I'm going to have Jeremy bring something in for I'll text Jeremy, be like, hey, you want me to stoke some fires? I've got you. I'll be the smack talker that you're desperately looking for, because I like fun.
So you got to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to text
you. You got to be the Jeff Skinner.
I'm going to be the Jeff Skinner here. I will say that. I will be the Jeff Skinner defensively and trash talkingly. Not offensively, though. I can't do that. I don't. Nor in the budget. I wish I could get paid $9 million. I'll take $9.
I take anything.
I'll take $9. You hear that, Alan? All right. We got to get out of here. Monday night, Stanley Cup final. Jeremy and Joe are at it Monday morning. You're listening to WGR.